Hello, my beautiful bestie. How you doing today?
Hello, Melissa Rose.
I am doing swell today. How are you? It's sunny.
It is sunny. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's the way to kick off the year. We just dropped our 2025 episode today. We're thriving. We're fully thriving.
Yeah, we did our episode 40. Today is episode 41, and we are joined by a guest today.
We sure are.
And I am so jazzed about today's guest, because not only is he a powerhouse of innovation and leadership, he's also someone whom I call a dear, dear friend. Our guest today is a pioneer in the wellness world, founder and CEO of World on Fire and While on Earth, two brands igniting passion, purpose, and performance. Before starting these ventures, he was the award-winning CMO of the iconic athletic footwear and apparel brand, Noble. From cultivating a cult following to launching major partnerships with the NFL, PGA Tour, and CrossFit Games, his knack for community building and creative strategy is unparalleled. But beyond his professional achievements, our guest's story is deeply personal to me too, because when I met him, I just knew he was the perfect match for my college bestie, Katie. And now they're married and raising the most beautiful 2.5-year-old little girl together. His unique alchemy of business, heart-driven leadership, and unwavering determination continues to light the way for transformative growth and lasting change while he's here on Earth. So I cannot wait for you to hear his story and his insights today. So get ready to be inspired by the one, the only, Todd Melanie. Welcome, welcome.
Quite the intro. I don't know how I will live up to that, but I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me on the MTake podcast. I'm excited to have some time together today.
As are we. Yes, when we started this space and we were starting to brainstorm guests who could come on the podcast, we just knew we were manifesting. And then you came to visit us at our house in November. And I was like, Todd, are you down for this? And you just uninhibitedly were like, absolutely, yes. So thank you so much for being here today.
Of course, I've been looking forward to it. It's been hardwired into my calendar for the last few months, and this is going to be a lot of fun. It's actually some of the first like media that I've done in almost 2 years. I've been working on a lot of things, and we've had a lot of kind of transformative life events, and I've just kind of been really focused on those things. But on the list of more in 2025 is to kind of get back out there a little bit and share some of the lessons of my journey and some of the things that my attention has been pointed towards. And there's no better place to do it than a safe space with trusted friends. And Michelle and I go back 11 or 12 years now, which is pretty amazing.
Yes.
And many milestones and memories shared along the way. So, you know, this was a no-brainer for me to come on and be able to be a guest on the great show that you guys have created.
Oh, thank you so much, Todd. And honestly, especially knowing you took a little bit of a hiatus from the media, I'm feeling especially honored to be the reintroduction to that. That I'm feeling a little bit of pressure and also Two Truths and Lies, very honored.
Absolutely. So, is this the moment for Two Truths, No Lies?
Perfect segue. So Todd, before you take it away, there could be people listening who are solely listening to today's show because you're on it. So I just want to carve out a little bit of space to share why we do this Two Truths, No Lies concept on the show or segment on the show. So Two Truths, No Lies is a take on holding two very stark truths, but also they could be conflicting in some capacity. And it's usually connected to some type of story, some type of anecdote. And it ultimately just gives us permission to feel those two things at once. So often we're battling, I shouldn't be feeling this way because I need to be feeling this way, when actually they both are true and they both exist. So without further ado, you take it away.
Yes. So my two truths, no lies, are that sometimes thriving feels like surviving, and sometimes surviving can feel like thriving.
Mm. Period.
Done. Tell us
Please
more, though.
Please tell me more. Yes.
Yeah, so when kind of thinking about the topic, and I think we'll talk probably a bit about this today, but is I put a lot of effort into balancing and weaving my personal and professional life together in such a way that they can be complementary of each other, and was wrestling with how to communicate that in this kind of formula, and have been moments in my life and career where in the present, it feels like you're on top of the world, or you should feel like you're on top of the world because you have some major win or some major milestone or accolade. And then later when you reflect on kind of that time, you're like, that really wasn't what I thought it felt like in the moment. And then on the other side of that, there are moments when you feel like maybe you're stuck in the mud, or you're struggling, or you have this tension about where you're not, and it feels like you're just enduring or surviving. And then as time goes on and you can reflect on it, you were actually thriving in that moment. Mm-hmm. And those things being in conflict with each other and being aware of them has offered me just a tremendous amount of growth.
That's incredible. When you're talking about this, it sounds like it was something you came to in a place of reflection. But is it something that you can also, now that you're aware of it, you can implement and click into in the present? And what does that look and feel like when you do that?
Yeah, so that's something that I've really only become like super aware of in the last few months. And it's taken like 18 months of processing and reflecting on a whole decade to 1.5 decades of time to like become like really kind of aware of. And I think the awareness to it is like a major win in itself. And I think kind of another way to describe this two truth, no lies is like, I think I'm really great at imagining the future. And I think I'm pretty good at reflecting on the past and learning from it. But if I'm spending all of my time on those two things, it leaves like very little time for the present. Mm-hmm. And I want to be a lot better at that. And it's the effort in being better at that, that I have had this awareness to reprocessing previous information that I thought I understood, and now understanding it differently to be better at where I am in this moment. And then also to anticipate what the future may, you know, hold with a slightly different mindset. And just like for me, I'll start with like a personal example of this where, and you could read this either way, thriving. It's really like the conflict or struggle between thriving and surviving, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, my wife, Katie, and I have a young daughter, and she goes to daycare, and we both work from home, and we both have demanding schedules. And, you know, there's only a few hours a day where we can be really engaged with her. And I also own my own company and have a team and have like really professional responsibilities that matter to me deeply. And between 5:30 and 8 p.m., that's the time that I have with my daughter. And there are moments where I might be sitting on the floor playing with blocks or reading a book, and I know that I have 50 Slacks to reply to, or emails or messages or things that are calling for my attention. And I'm, you know, struggling to keep up with those things, and then have an awareness to like, no, actually, like this block tower is the most important thing that I can possibly be doing right now. and the rest of it's going to have to wait. Mm-hmm. And it's like that friction, that presence, that purpose that allows me to kind of find calm in the present, in, you know, in the presence of that moment. Mm-hmm. And that applies also to work things on the other side of it. So those are my two truths, no lies. And I hope they make some kind of sense.
It's so beautifully said. Mel and I are just like aggressively nodding this.
Yeah, like my neck's gonna hurt.
Yeah, exactly. And it's I think it's something that is so incredibly relatable for working dads, working moms, working people that have children, because even when you're building the block tower, right, there are so many moments where I know for me, my silence is so loudly deafening because I'm somewhere else. And that awareness that you brought up, Todd, I just want to like highlight, double click on, because sometimes that's all it takes to bring you back. Like, nope, that can wait, as you said. This is my time. This is my present. This is what we're talking about. Can you say one more time the two truths, no lies, like the way you packaged it? I found myself wanting to go like 15 seconds back, repeat what you said. So let's finish on that, and then we're going to keep diving deeper with you.
Yes. So my two truths, no lies, are that sometimes thriving can feel like surviving, and sometimes surviving can feel like thriving.
Love it.
I love it. Michelle and I spend so much time talking about being rooted in our goals, rooted in our missions, rooted in all of those things. And I want to double click on, before we move on, how you brought up purpose, because I think while you might oscillate 10 times an hour, 10 times a day, whatever it is between the thriving and surviving, finding something to root you in that moment when you're trying to establish which side of that you're on in that moment. And you said, what is my purpose right now? What is the greatest purpose right now? It's building the blocks, or it's, you know, when during the work day, it's the greater mission or the mission of that day, but it's rooting in the purpose and finding what that is. And that can change, and that can also oscillate. So thank you so much for sharing that. It, as Michelle said, just so relatable to anyone that's a working parent or anyone that's balancing conflicting needs.
Yes.
Simply.
And speaking of balancing, right, all of what you just shared really sits on your story. So that's where we want to go next. We want to dive deeper. We want to know who you are, what you do professionally, and your why.
Yeah, awesome. So I am a multi-time entrepreneur and have lived in the startup world for most of the last 15 or 16 years, maybe a little bit longer than that. When I was in college, I really kind of struggled with what do I want to do professionally. The idea of like working full time in a very traditional environment was super anxiety inducing to me and uninspiring. And I kind of discovered the reality that, you know, if you're building something and you're creating something, you are working, but it's much more engaging, inspiring. And if you're really successful at what you build, you might not have to work as long. So those few things were like highly attractive to me. And I started my first business when I was 19. It was a surfing apparel brand in memory of my best childhood friend who had passed away when we were freshmen in college, and created t-shirts and hats and sweatshirts, and had a website that I created on WordPress, and sold, you know, t-shirts to surfers kind of all over New England, and then sold those products into surf shops, and like really just kind of grinded and hustled my way into this little brand that was tiny, but it was also like an incredible, you know, lesson and building block for me. I would be in a college class, and I would get text notifications that I had a new order from the website, and I would go back to my dorm room and pack up the t-shirt or the sweatshirt from underneath my bed and, you know, carry in trash bags orders down to the mailroom and ship them all out myself, and had money coming into my bank account, and like didn't have a job, but like did kind of. And that really like empowered me and gave me this sense of energy towards like, I can do this. Like, why can I not do this? You know? And I was using a Facebook page for marketing back when you had to have a college email address to be on Facebook. So it was like the early days of social media and digital community building and all of these things. And then that just kind of fueled me and led me down the path of, frankly, like really high risk startups that I felt like would have a really high reward if they were successful, and kind of just became obsessed with entrepreneurship and read as many books as I could that were kind of business or founder oriented about, you know, Steve Jobs or Elon Musk's first book about how we started PayPal, and every Malcolm Gladwell book that you could find, and like everything else like that. And just kind of one thing that really stuck with me in college, like when you'd have speakers come in who are these like really successful people, is they would always tell their story. And I remember one of them being like, you need to be thinking about what is your story that you want to be telling 10 years from now. And the decisions you make line up to the story that you tell yourselves and you tell others, which is ironic because I'm sitting here telling my story. But the point was that like you begin with the end in mind, which is one of Stephen Covey's 7 habits of highly effective people, is begin with the end in mind. So I was always of the mindset of, well, it doesn't matter as much where I am today, as long as I'm thinking and taking the steps to where I want to be in the future. And that's how I approached my career post-college. I did work like in traditional environments. I was an intern for the Patriots and had a job there briefly after college, and like did some really cool things in sports marketing, which was what my degree was in. But it was really kind of just a means to get me to a point where I felt like I could either start something that I that was my own, you know, or be a part of something early enough to where hopefully, you know, I would participate and benefit in the collective success of that effort. And that's pretty much what the last, you know, 15 years have been, from an early startup in the surfing industry in Rhode Island, and then ultimately connecting with 2 other entrepreneurs who were former executives of Reebok, Michael Schaefer and Marcus Wilson. And they had left Reebok in 2013, ironically, to start a surfing brand. And I had been in that space because of the company that I had started. And we got connected, and I tried to sell them my company at the time. And it was a product called a Wax Buddy that was used to scrape surf wax off of surfboards. But I had done some cool stuff with it and started manufacturing it for big surf brands like Vans and Billabong and other companies like that. So we were selling that product in 4,000 retail doors all over the world. And as they were starting out, they were looking for help and how could they, you know, get their startup, you know, in those places. So I tried to sell them the company. They were like, no, we're not interested in buying the company, but we'd love for you to come be a part of this. And I had read enough books about, you know, these sorts of things and thinking about what is the story and how does this all work, that I believed in those guys. And I was like, look, I believe in them. I have a lot of things to learn that they have more experience in. And I believe that what I bring can be really complementary to what we build. So I joined them. It was the 3 of us. We had a cold water surfing brand. And then we did that for like a year, and like, to be honest, it had got like 0 traction. And in parallel, we had started a marketing and design agency. So we were helping other clients with product design, because Michael was a world-class product designer, and Marcus, who had been in venture capital and went to MIT. And I basically got to apply these digital marketing skills that I had learned on my own to helping clients that came through their network. And I got to be kind of this outsourced marketing manager for like a dozen different companies that were cool and in the fitness and wellness industry mostly. And then along the way there, and they, you know, came up with it, but the idea to start our own footwear and apparel training brand. And I remember being like, what's a training brand? Like, what is that? Like, what are we training? And they're like, oh, no, it's like Lululemon. And this is 2013. And I'm like, I've been in Lululemon once and the shirt was $77, you know? But I was like, hey, if that's what we're doing, I'm on board. And the idea of making athletic footwear was something that was super attractive to me. I had been a kind of a sneaker head, you know, sneaker collector in high school as much as I could, collecting Air Jordans and other things. So I kind of had a knack for how to like create excitement around shoes. And I brought that in to the team, and it was the three of us, and we launched Noble in 2015. It was the three of us out of our houses. We launched at midnight. We had our first order at 12:01, and we were off to the races. I stayed with Noble and was with Noble for 10 years as the chief marketing officer until early 2023, when I stepped away from that business and that chapter after a really remarkable, kind of unprecedented, you know, rise. And we did global partnerships with major sports entities. And I worked with athletes and Olympians and, you know, traveled all over the world. And we made like an incredible amount of money in the business and received like kind of all the recognition you could ever receive in a lifetime, frankly, like during what in hindsight was like a really short period of time. Like it exploded like a rock.
I have to chime in and tell this anecdote, Todd, as you're reflecting. So it was 2013, and you and Katie came to visit Ryan and I in New York City, and you were manifesting hard that you were going to see a pair of Nobles that weekend in New York City, like someone wearing them. And little did he know, we were on the subway, and we saw someone wearing a pair of Nobles, and he's like, right there. It was, do you remember that?
Of course. Yeah. I said that, and Ryan was like, yeah, okay. Yeah. You know,
like, all right, great to dream, Todd, but.
And it was like 15 minutes later, we got on the subway and someone literally crossed the aisle. I'm like, yep. Yeah. Well, that's one pair.
And that's amazing. It was, yeah.
And that was a pretty cool moment. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was a ride of a lifetime, you know, really kind of achieved and accomplished all of the professional goals that I had ever dreamed of, like within that 10-year chapter. And not to say that you don't shift the goalpost and have new aspirations and all those sorts of things, but it was a really transformative chapter of my career where a lot of what we touched like turned to gold, you know, from a professional standpoint. And it became this huge exercise in balancing professional obligations and professional responsibilities and success with personal goals and personal balance and family and, you know, all of that sort of stuff that ultimately led me to stepping away from it in 2023. And was fortunate enough to have a team with me that believed in me and left Noble with me. And we weren't sure exactly what we were going to do. We had some ideas. But the first thing we did was we started doing some consulting and agency work for other brands. So I started a marketing agency, and I was able to kind of tap into my professional network that I had built over 10 years, but had never really been able to like utilize other than like building incredible friendships, which was awesome. And that's like the most valuable redeeming part of it. But I also was so singularly focused on Noble that I couldn't really pursue anything else. And when I stepped away and was like, hey, if anybody wants to chat or work or like do anything, just let me know. And we were flooded with opportunities that was like frankly overwhelming, but really cool. And we were able to basically handpick projects for almost the last 2 years that we wanted to work on and we felt like we could contribute to. And those ended up being mostly like wellness oriented or fitness oriented businesses that my team and I could advise or help with creative work or whatever. So we started an agency, we did that. And when my team came with me, I didn't have that figured out. And, you know, there wasn't like the incredible reward that you might anticipate when you leave a business and it's that successful. That wasn't how that story ended for me. But to have the team that I had come with me, I committed to them that, you know, nobody's going to miss a paycheck and nobody's going to take a haircut to be a part of this. And I didn't know how I was going to pull that off. I invested a lot of my own money into getting that started. And we had a lot of great clients right away. And we're able to do that. And we have an A-plus team that has been able to, you know, maintain and grow in their career and come along on the journey for what would be next.
As you're talking through this, I'd love to know, and making this a bit more visible, what was it like, you know, growing a brand like that over the course of almost 10 years, right? Did this become like very conflated and intertwined with like your own personal success? Because if the startup mentality with this rocket ship of a brand, then going to start your own thing again, like I want to understand a little bit more about that process and being like, okay, I know at the end of the day, my done goal, I've had the story I'm building has been about like what I can build and what I can do for the community. And also it's been so very tied to this brand for a long time. So was that a challenging transition to make back to kind of the more grassroots of it all marketing agency?
Yeah. I mean, it was super humbling. I knew it was going to be really humbling. But a little bit about the Noble journey was I had started that first brand was in college and like figured out all of these things I was not capable of, which was super humbling. Like I didn't know how to make any product. I was terrible at designing. Like we sold product online, but it was like really small, you know, and I would set up tents at local events and like pitch this brand to people that I had never met, which was like really uncomfortable and scary. And when I came out of that, I was like, I have a lot to learn. So I went into this Noble journey, like truly just being like, I need to be, if I want to be successful at doing that again, I have so much to learn. I need to zip it and learn. Like that's the point of this. So there was, I was literally willing to do anything to make that business successful because I was completely committed entirely to what the mission of the brand was, which was no BS, no excuses, hard work, and like show up and the results will follow. Mm-hmm. So I completely internalized and embodied that and frankly, like didn't come up for air for like, it was like 5 years before I had any sense of like, oh my gosh, this is massive. And I was the first employee there and it ended up being that, you know, the next five employees work for me and then the next five employees reported to each of them. And all of a sudden my team is like 30 people and the whole company's 40 people. And then the whole company's 100 people and 75 of them are reporting to me, which just was the nature of how to grow a direct-to-consumer brand during that period on Instagram and social media. And I wasn't paying attention to kind of myself in all of that. I was just like purely focused on giving and the contributions to the company and its performance. And then it was like 2019, actually. And I know this is a long-winded answer to your question.
No.
But as it relates to like intertwining identity and reset and awareness and all of these things into balancing family and professional lives, which is kind of my theme for the show today. Thank you for having me. Is that it truly like wasn't until like 2019 that I had any awareness that like this thing was a beast. And there's a lot of people looking at me as like one of the drivers or contributors to this. And I was recruiting world-class athletes that we were taking from Nike and Reebok and Adidas and all these spaces. They were leaving to be with Noble, and I was literally the one pitching them. And they were kind of rallying around me in that way. And there became this like network of like really high profile athletes and partners that I was connected to, which I was connected to because I believed in building the relationship with them. And I felt like the relationship would build authenticity and buy-in from them in such a way that would be like way more than transactional. And if we were to actually take down Nike or Reebok, we had to do things that they weren't capable of doing, which was to be like really small and really personal and really like real. And that's what I was trying to do through these relationships. And what happened was these relationships became really like these people were really high profile, and I became adjacent to them through Noble. And therefore, most people started seeing me as the most externally facing person of the most rapidly growing footwear brand in fitness, which it wasn't until like 2019, and Michelle was there, of course. We hosted this event in Brooklyn, actually, and it was a film festival, and it became this like whole deal. Like there were 750 people waiting outside this cold warehouse in Brooklyn.
It was awesome.
We created a short film about some athletes we had signed. And I had thought of the event and hosted the whole event. And it was just like, it was a really, really cool experience. But I like went up to speak on stage at the event, and I got a standing ovation from like 750 people. And I was like, what is going on? The event was on a Saturday night. We premiered short documentary film on our website on Sunday night, and we had a million views in 24 hours. And the point of this story is that like these things just started to accelerate beyond where your feet could keep up with, right? And you're just trying to like stay present and not get caught up in how quickly things are accelerating. Otherwise, you will get run over by that momentum, and you like totally lose orientation to who you are and who you wanted to be and why you set out on this journey in the first place. And I became aware of that starting in like 2019. And then it just became, frankly, like survival, like to go back to our original thing.
Yeah.
But we were like business-wise, we were thriving. I mean, it was insane. But from 2019 to 2022, like we were the hottest footwear brand in the industry. And the numbers showed it. And I was responsible for the numbers. So it became this like really interesting dynamic of balancing personal gravity and professional success and all of these things. And to most people, I was the professional face of Noble or one of them.
I remember the standing ovation so crisply. I just remember being so proud of you, like seeing you out there, right? And now zooming out completely and almost having like a fishbowl perspective on it with you in this current moment, you were writing your story right then and there too. Those were, I always say, like the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit. And we will get to more of the here and the now, but these success seeds that you were intentionally planting, but also not even knowing that you were planting, all threaded with this incredible level of self-awareness, has been catalytic for you to get to your here and your now. So I just wanted to carve out space for you to feel some self-pride there, because you were laying those success seeds for yourself. So
thank you. It's interesting because I wasn't the founder of Noble, even though the three of us were in a room together. I was the chief marketing officer, and I was kind of curating a lot of these external relationships. But I was always very thoughtful around like who and how should people be getting credit and recognition for the work. And I always felt like as a marketer, I still feel this way. Like the best way to market yourself is to be great at marketing everybody around you. And that became my focus. Was like all that whole event was let me show the world how incredible these people are, the founders of this company and the athletes and, you know, the team that created this event and all of these things. I had blinders on to do that, right? And when you do that well, those lights reflect. Mm-hmm. And that started to happen right around that time. Mm-hmm. And then thereafter, right, like it became this thing where like, I am Noble was the slogan we had for the business, but it was also like a huge part of what my identity had become because I was the marketing catalyst for the message I am Noble. Right. And throughout 2022, we had like a monumental business valuation, all these things in 2021. And then 2022, like the success continued. In 2022, did a global partnership with the NFL to become the presenting sponsor of the NFL Combine. And I remember in that kind of wave of energy and momentum, and it became this thing where like this, you know, brand born in fitness and CrossFit had like taken over the CrossFit space, dethroned Reebok, and now taken over the NFL Combine from Under Armour and dethroned Under Armour. And it was like this whole deal, right? And I remember being on the field at the NFL Combine. I was in the 50-yard line and just being like, where do we go from here? Like, it just became like disorienting. And I started just contemplating my own kind of, you know, I hate to say it, but like mortality in that professional journey. And like, what is next for me? What is right for me? And one other thing that I've learned about recently, but are you familiar with arrival fallacy? So it's something I apparently suffer from, or I had been suffering from for a long time. But arrival fallacy is the expectation that a future event is going to redeem a certain emotional feeling that you commit to and work towards. And then when it doesn't happen, you suffer from arrival fallacy, which is like sadness and depression. Because you did something and it didn't create the feeling that you anticipated.
So is this akin to the whole idea of like the when I have, when I get, and this constant hamster wheel of pushing towards these goals, and then you get to these goals and you're just pushing towards the next one. And it doesn't, to your point, give you that sense of gratification or even gratitude in that moment of where you've become.
Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong. I had an awesome time.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Like I look back on it and I'm like, wow, that was crazy. We did some remarkable accomplishments. It's like, you know, media with every major outlet, you know, is congratulating you and all this stuff. And that's cool. And I certainly, like younger me would be so proud and aspire to all of those things. But eventually you've kind of achieved it, you know? And I had experienced that at Noble, and there was a lot of organizational change and cultural change in the business. And, you know, as a company grows, the things that got you here won't necessarily get you there. And there's a book called that, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And what it's saying is in some instances, the things that got you to this point are actually going to prevent you from continuing to grow or evolve in the future. And there is definitely truth to that, but it can also lead you to believe that some of the things that got you here won't get you there. And some of those things may be necessary. And there was a lot of that dynamic in the company at that time, which created just like major cultural change that was hard for me to be really excited about and feel really good about. And I started kind of taking a step back and reflecting upon myself, where I am in my life, where is my family in all of this? How is my wife doing? Other life things started to kind of become more and more present for me. And I also reflected upon who was I before this journey started? And why was I attracted to be on this journey in the first place? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I felt strongly as things change culturally and within that company is that I can do better than this. And I became comfortable with the fact that I want to try because I was really steadfast in my beliefs in some of the principles that had helped make that brand and that culture really successful. And as we drifted away from some of those things, I wasn't ready to drift away from those things. And I believed that with the right team, with the right mission, with the right product, there was nothing proprietary about the success we experienced there. And I wanted to figure out if that was true. And I wasn't certain, you know, that we were going to transition into creating our own athletic footwear and apparel brand. But I thought there was a real chance. So my team and I had left, and it was this really humbling experience. We were, you know, leaders of an industry, and then we stepped out into just everyday folks trying to be like, hey, you need any help with anything you're doing? You know, like, we're here. And I anticipated that and made this commitment to like really embrace that discomfort, because that discomfort was going to be helpful in ultimately like continuing to grow in the longer term. So spoiler alert, this past fall, we did launch our own performance footwear and apparel brand. It's called While on Earth. And it is much more oriented towards a holistic approach to wellness, and really excited about the position and direction of that business. But it required, you know, a really challenging and humbling 18-month commitment to change. I heard something interesting recently, which was that intelligence is measured by one's ability to change. And I had never heard that before. And I feel like that kind of applies to what we're trying to do and how we're trying to grow. And this new brand is kind of aligned to a little bit of that. And it's been going really well. And we've got another whole chapter ahead of us.
I want you to dive a little bit deeper into the why of the brand, because I find it so inspiring. I know that our listeners will too. So tell us a little bit more about the why.
Yeah. And this is a great moment to brag about my incredible wife, Katie, Michelle's college bestie.
Like day one college. Well, maybe day two college bestie.
Yeah. She'll be listening. She better be listening.
Love you, Katie.
But yeah. But what was interesting about the noble journey and kind of how that brand was built and what the why was for that brand, as I stepped away from that, throughout the summer of 2023, I really created some space to just reassess the whole industry I'd worked in and, you know, what I thought of it and where I thought it was going and what mattered to me and what I thought mattered to people that I care about. And I remember thinking, my wife would never be wearing Noble if it weren't for me. And then as I like thought about people in my life or friends of friends or whatever, I'm like, there's a lot of people who would not be wearing this if it were for somebody they know directly, right? Because the brand was super harsh and, you know, it was all about hard work and no excuses and that mindset, which is awesome. And like, I have moments where I'm still just like that and like super hardcore and like, there's a huge demographic for that. And like, I want them to do well. But, you know, for me, I'm like, yo, I've been working hard. Like, we've been working hard. Like, what's the deal with this, you know? And all of a sudden, I think people's mindset started to change coming out of COVID, where like tolerance for certain things you know, changed. And people are looking to feel a certain way. And that's how I kind of, I guess, discovered like the meaning of wellness. And I always like kind of thought of wellness as like the sign you see above the door at the Minute Clinic. And like, that is sickness. That is not <That's right>. Wellness.
Two very different things.
Yeah. But like, what is wellness, right? And for me, it's a certain feeling of balance and contentment and excitement and energy and motivation. And I feel the best when I am healthy and fit and balanced. And that's like so many different things in addition to just like being in the gym, right? Like that is sleep and nutrition and connection and, you know, fresh air and like on and on and on. And like I'm Rubik's cubing that definition of wellness for myself constantly. And like there is actually no solve for it. It's just this journey that we're all on. And for me, it was like, well, what if we created a brand that connected with people on their journey? And what if we created a brand that my wife would actually want to wear and could still be really powerful and motivating and empowering for the, you know, most intense moments on that journey, which is hardcore and intense and serious and all that stuff, but also have like a broad net around all of wellness. And that's why we named the brand Wow on Earth. Because we're trying to inspire people to reach their full potential. And we believe that reaching your full potential starts with being the healthiest version of yourself. And for us, that starts with movement. There's so much more to it. But movement's one of those pillars, and our products are made for that. And we want to just meet people where they are. And our mission is to inspire wellness. And our tagline is start somewhere, which is you can start anywhere, right? And that's from somebody like with their first moment of wanting to improve themselves, like we're here for you. And somebody who's, you know, decades into a pro competitive career and has achieved so much. And while on Earth, you know, really can be a bridge to all of those different moments and those different people.
So inspiring, and truly that mission and that why is also so adjacent to where you are in your journey professionally right now too, and personally, right? Like it's in the application of the fitness space or the wellness space rather. But even just hearing you saying that and like talking about meeting yourself where you are and wherever you are on the journey, it's really just tied so directly to this culmination here, which is so inspiring. And you can jump on any trend or you can jump on any season of a certain space and develop something, right? But then when that season shifts and that space shifts, as they all do, being rooted in something that has longevity like that is truly so inspiring, no matter what your venture is. Thank you so much for sharing. And Michelle and I are like, just like locked eyes on the screen. We said, meet yourself where you are, because and meet people where they are, because that is what we say every single day. We have to meet ourselves where we are, and we have to meet others where they are to really achieve success wholeheartedly, holistically, all around.
With no shame and no guilt. Like, you're meeting yourself where you are for a specific reason, and then go somewhere, right? And your brand, Todd, you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And that is also the beauty of the spectrum. No matter where you are in your journey, meet yourself where you are. It's underneath my self-TLC umbrella that in the middle of the workday to put my Wall on Earth on, go for a 5-minute loop. Doesn't have to be long, but it got me moving and it put a smile on my face because I had your shoes on my feet. So thanks for that too.
Yeah, you're welcome. We have these things, we call them brand questions, and they're, where will you go? What will you do? And who will you be? So move, go, do while on Earth. And we actually, you know, it was interesting, Katie and I were talking about this last night, because we published this on our Instagram handle as well, on Earth, for anybody who's interested. We have this series called Microdosing Fitness, and we accumulate studies about how movement can improve overall health and wellness, but in like really digestible bite size, like microdosing, right? Like the one we put up last night was 3.4 minutes a day of activity, like climbing stairs or going for a walk, can decrease the probability of cancer by 31%.
Jesus. That's incredible.
It is. And Katie is like, I don't believe that. That doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm like, well, I'm not the scientist, but here's the study and we've sourced it right here. And one of the fascinating things that I look at on our Instagram is not how many likes we get, it's how many shares we get. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, okay, well, people are very thoughtful about what they engage and what they click like on, because then that gets served to other people that follow them. And all of a sudden you're seeing something because Michelle liked it. Well, that may be something that's personal or private to Michelle, but she finds it interesting. Mm-hmm. But if 25 people shared it, that means 50 people read it that didn't necessarily click like. And these are like really small numbers. But that's where we are. We just started, right? So like these numbers to me represent what does virality mean for this brand? And if our intention is to inspire wellness, did one person who saw that post carve out 15 minutes today to like go for a walk around their neighborhood? Mm-hmm. That's a win. You know, like those are the micro wins that over a decade or decades, you can have a really profound positive impact on people. And that's the point of this brand. Like it's a long tail build. And that's why the name's so non-traditional, is because we want people to recall it and think about it and all those sorts of things.
Wow. Micro wins.
Mm-hmm. Micro dosing.
Oh, yeah. And then the micro wins as a result of that, both of those things, I resonate so much again with Michelle and my brand and constantly saying, you know, how often do we say, Michelle, at the very least, one person walks away from this feeling seen, feeling heard, feeling less alone. And over time, that's an impact. That's an impact, whether it's one episode or one mantra within that episode that they carry through with them. And I think it's just absolutely so inspiring to see you doing this at the scale that you are. And again, just punting back to you what you've said during our time today, the comparison of the way you talked about Noble, and with equal amount of respect for both situations, but even in just the storytelling of Noble, I could feel in my chest like the grind, right? And then as you talk about this brand, it's this transition of like ease. Like it's like visually, I feel a difference of like a dark, harsh, hardcore to like easy and like a flow almost. So it's you're emulating it, I guess, is my point right now, which is amazing.
And Todd, to bring it back to your two truths, no lies, really like the second prong where you were talking about your ability to forecast out and your ability to reflect back kind of didn't leave a lot of room for the present. You are, in fact, more in the here and the now because of the Wall on Earth brand. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, definitely. And I would say I'm present and comfortable with the process of becoming, mm-hmm. and the process of creating, and loving that I'm working from home. And there was a time within the last 6 months where everything of this company fit in this office bedroom that I have. Mm-hmm. And like, you might think that you lose something or you lose some, you know, confidence or, you know, swag or whatever you want to call it, going from like being on top of the mountain to having to reclimb the mountain. And I don't think that's the case. And in the launch video that we put out for Well on Earth, the message was the purpose is found in the process. Mm-hmm. And that's the case for me on this journey. Like I have no expectation for what the ultimate outcome will be. And I think the grace of which we're approaching that will create an absolutely incredible outcome. Like, if that makes sense, right? And that's almost like two truths, no lie in itself, right? Which is like, I don't want to apply the pressure to be something we're not ready for. And I think by taking it slow and being comfortable with the process of becoming that, we'll actually ultimately have a much better outcome, you know, later. That's me. That's the company. That's our team. That's the relationships we have. And that's how we approach all of them. And I still believe in the same way that the Noble journey did, like we're stacking bricks that, you know, will take a very long time to be something that people can see. But it will happen over time. And I was aware of that when we stepped away, you know, I was like, hey, I'm aware that right now I'm the only one who can see the vision, you know, and maybe tomorrow one more person will, and one more person, and on we go. But to your point, Mel, by the end of the Noble journey, and we were a hardcore training brand, like I had actually developed an unhealthy relationship with fitness because I felt this obligation to be in the gym, living up to the DNA of the brand, that when I was supposed to be having time to be bettering myself and working on me, it was too closely connected with this personal identity that I was wrestling with that I didn't want to be working out. And that became like a red flag because like, whoa, this is negatively affecting my health and physical fitness. I need to like really process this and figure out how to decouple these things because like, fitness is a non-negotiable for me for the rest of my life, as long as I can. You know, that and a handful of other things in my life are non-negotiables. The rest come and go.
Before we segue into our mantras and our think abouts and everything, and I don't want to necessarily say like end it on a negative note because this isn't going to be one, but hear me out. You mentioned a red flag, and I was actually going to ask a question around, you know, if you could go back and tell yourself something or advice for anyone in your situation here, whether it's just someone who inspires to be an entrepreneur, someone who's in
crossroads.
Someone who's in a crossroads professionally and isn't sure which way to go. Hearing how inspiring your story is, you hear that, right? You hear the inspiring, but here I am. And what Michelle and I like to make very visible is it doesn't always feel inspiring in the moment. So red flags, things that if you're looking back, like, can you click in and really make visible, like, this was the moment when, and this is why it was really difficult for me to make that decision. And it didn't feel good in that moment, because I think those really help people to have a clear answer. If you have anything.
It's a great question. I don't know if this quite answers it, but I would say to be comfortable and present with the discomfort that comes through the decision that you're making, because that's actually where the growth is, right? Like, that's where you're thriving, even though you feel like you're just surviving. Mm-hmm. And that's what the last 18 months has been. It's actually more like 24 months as I was contemplating what, you know, my crossroads was going to be. But I did identify that the path to feeling like my purpose and myself were connected to, you know, the right direction was the discomfort. Mm-hmm. And letting go of these things that felt like possessions, but they were not, like a job title or like a resume or a news article, like those are not possessions. Those are meaningless. They have absolutely no significance whatsoever. And that's probably the advice I would give to myself 10 or 15 years ago, even though if someone gave me that advice, then I would say, yeah, I'm good. I still want those things. Mm-hmm. And I don't think either of those are wrong, you know?
Right.
It's just a part of the journey. Who am I to say? But like, I thought I'd be a little further along 16 years into this, but maybe I am. And maybe that's just kind of the nature of figuring it out.
And comparing yourself to only you. I think that's a huge piece of this. And what you actually just said is a concrete representation of leaning into the process, not the product, not the job title. The job title is a product. You lean into the process, right? And that ultimately encapsulates your mission and your why and your story.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Comparison is the thief of joy is another great tagline. Actually, this is a cool little tidbit. And I know this is off the script, but one of the other names that we considered for the brand, I don't think we're going to do anything with it. So if somebody wants to take it, good luck. But was Thieves of Doubt, which was trying to connect like how purpose and process is what relieves the self-doubt that comes from the world we live in. So the brand was like, you know, if you're working hard and if you're wearing our product and being in fitness and doing all these things, you're taking steps to remove all the self-doubt. So the concept was Thieves of Doubt was the brand name. We didn't go with it. Obviously, we went with While on Earth. But kind of speaks to that comparison is the thief of joy concept.
100%. I think the wall on Earth, I'm still visually in my brain picturing it with everything you're saying. And I personally, not the marketing guru that you are, I feel like you went with the right name. I do.
Agreed.
I do love a visual though. And Thieves of Doubt is a great visual.
Well, if you need visuals, we've got some really nice new colorways that are going to be coming out very soon. We've had some like mostly neutrals lately, but we're exploring some new directions and products looking awesome and
love it.
Have to check it out.
Absolutely will. Absolutely will. I'm actually have been off my fitness, not wellness, but fitness journey for like over a year now. It's the longest in my not even adult life, like since I post middle school probably.
Since
birth. And I'm just getting back into it. I signed up for something and I'm gonna need some new shoes to carry me through, get me excited, get the motivation. So find me on While on Earth later today.
That sounds great.
Todd, you dropped a lot of think abouts and a lot of mantras today. I can't wait to listen back and take ferocious notes while I'm re-listening. But is there anything that you want to really double click on for our listeners or just for us or for yourself, just to keep in your back pocket, a takeaway, if you will?
I saw recently, if you need to remember what life's all about, speak to an 84-year-old and a 4-year-old. And we have almost a 3-year-old that's running around our house every day. And it's certainly the case for me. And I would just challenge people to make time for those people in their lives, whether they're younger or older, because I think you can learn a lot about how to process whatever the challenges that you might be going through.
It's beautiful. It's
beautifully said, especially as we all propel forth in a new year and reflecting on the things we want to double click on and the things we want to minimize a little bit or leave behind. So thank you so, so much for being here today. I'm grateful for your story, for inspiring me always and us. I'm grateful for your wife, of course, and our friendship. And just thank you so, so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Such an inspiring story. And I can't wait, honestly, to already listen back. I'm so excited to edit this episode.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me on the M Take. It was my pleasure, and we'll have to do it again sometime down the road.
Where can people find you, Todd? I know you dropped a handle before, but is there anywhere else that people can find you?
My personal Instagram is IndustryTodd, and our company Instagram is While on Earth, and the website's whileonearth.co. So check it out, reach out. and would love to connect.
Amazing. And we'll make sure to link both. And I'm also going to be reaching out for some of the book recommendations. Just so many thoughtful things dropped during this episode, and make sure to link them for everyone so we can all start our this year with all these incredible learnings that you've dropped for us. So thank you again, Todd, so much. You all know where to find us at the MTake Podcast on Instagram. We'll be back here next Tuesday, as always. And let us know if there's anything else you want to hear on what we're taking on this year, any other guests you'd like us to feature, any other stories you'd like us to spotlight. And that's all I got for you. Anything else, Michelle?
That's it. That's it. Mic drop.
Okay, amazing. Well, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you again, Todd, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Toodles. Bye. Love you.